Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Chris from Long Beach.
Hi, my name is Chris. I'm an alcoholic. Grateful to be here, grateful to be sober. Want to thank your group for, you know, giving us the privilege of coming down here and spending your anniversary with you. Happy anniversary. It's a fun, lively group. It reminds me of my home group, Monday Night Bellflower Big Book. In Bellflower, we have a beginner meeting at 6:15 where someone gets up, shares about their first 90 days, newcomers ask questions, and then our main meeting's at 7:30. So if you're ever there, please come by. And thank you to my sponsor for letting me drive him down here tonight. And welcome to the newcomers here tonight. Welcome to AA. And if you're new or coming back, I hope you find something here that I found, and you can get a good life. And welcome to our visitors, specifically the ones from Maryland and Virginia, because that's where I'm from. So welcome. I love to be sober. I love AA. I wasn't always like that. I didn't come in here like an AA. I came in here because I was in jail and I got arrested on a felony charge and I needed to get bailed out and I was in trouble. I didn't know what being an alcoholic was. I just knew I really liked to drink. I really like to drink tequila and I like to drink it by myself. And I like to steal, fight, and, you know, act like a tough guy when I really wasn't. Tequila really helped me do those things. I started drinking young. I was taking sips off my dad's beer, and he would let me drink the foam off of his beer when I'd pour him a drink, and I'd bring it to him. I don't know if I was an alcoholic when I first started, but I certainly remember what alcohol did to me. Alcohol did something inside of me that really made me actually feel like a man for the first time. I was a skinny kid growing up, and when I would drink, it was a lot easier to talk to people. It was a lot easier to show up at school or not show up at school. It was a lot easier to get in fights or to get beat up. It was not only a social lubricant, it made me feel okay for once. And it continued to do that. And I look back at all these things, and it's completely hindsight. I just knew that when I drank, something happened to me. And I couldn't control the amount that I drank. And when I started drinking tequila, I would start to continue to drink tequila until it either I threw up, passed out, or I got arrested from time to time as well. And alcohol did a lot of really good things for me. I traveled around a little bit. I got thrown in different places, one in Florida, one in Idaho, a couple in Maryland and Virginia. I think one or two in D.C. It brought me to a lot of shrinks, a lot of psychiatrists that would ask me how much I drank. I would, of course, lie to them and tell them I didn't drink that much. I was, doing a lot of drugs on the side. Everything that would come in front of me, I was doing as well. And I couldn't have told you at the time that I was an alcoholic. I didn't really understand that when I ingest alcohol, I was getting a different effect than my father was watching my father drink. My father, to this day, I was just back there actually a few weeks ago in Maryland visiting my dad. And we sit down to dinner, and he opens up a bottle of wine that he's had in the fridge probably for a few months, and he has a little thing that he pumps up when he's done pouring his glass. He'll drink a glass of wine and smoke a cigar, and he'll go to bed. Alcohol clearly doesn't do for him what it does for me. I have a drink. This phenomenon of craving sets off in me, and I want more, and I have no control. And then when I'm not drinking, I'm nuts. And when I'm not drinking is when I was really getting in a lot of trouble. The time where I got arrested and went to jail on that serious charge that night, I wasn't even drinking that night. We were out trying to find something to do, and to get some more, to get some drinks, or to get some more coke up my nose or whatever it was that evening. I don't remember exactly what it was. But that's, at the time, the psychiatrist always asked me, why can't you just go to school like all the other kids? Why can't you show up? I was gifted to play soccer. I got a chance to go to Italy when I was 15 to play, and I got kicked out of there. And I was stone cold sober, And these doctors, they would sit across from me, and they would prescribe me all types of medication, and then I would crush it up and snort it, and that didn't help either. It was the police and my parents and then these school counselors and psychiatrists, and it really wasn't until I came to AA, and the way I came here was I knew I had heard of a meeting that was in Washington, D.C. one evening. It was 2 days. My sobriety date's September 13th, 2001. I got sober 2 days after 9/11, and it was on a Thursday night. I was at a bar drinking that Tuesday night, which we all remember. And then that Thursday evening, I don't know what it was about that night. I had been bailed out of jail. I had a pending felony charge in Florida. I was back in Maryland at the time because I had gotten bailed out, and I had knew of a meeting that was down in Northwest in Washington. And I simply just went to a phone booth and looked up in the phone book and called AA. And thank God for an intergroup that was there that picked up the phone that evening. And they directed me on where to go that night, and that was my, you know, and that was my introduction to AA. I had been told about AA. I had gone once or twice. I would tell you that I was an AA member, but I had an AA life, and then I had my own life at home that I wasn't telling anyone AA about. And if you're sitting in here and you're that way, then I can warn against that and tell you that you're heading for danger, because I did that. I came in here and I would act like an AA member, and I'll go home and act however I wanted. I wouldn't tell you that after the meeting I was going and hanging out with these guys that were going and having drinks at night, because it seemed like AA was for losers, and I wanted to go hang out with the cool guys over here. And if you're new, you'll see that in AA. You'll see things that perceive that these guys that seem like they're the cool guys, and really in AA, you better find the losers, man, because those are the ones that are staying sober. And that's the truth, you know. You hear these terms. These big book Nazis and these AA jerks and these mean sponsors that make you do things. I'll tell you, that saved my life. I mean, absolutely. Because I was the kind of guy that if you pat me on the back and tell me I'm doing a good job, I'm gone. Because I don't need this anymore. And I better be around, you know, specifically a sponsor that's always going to make me feel a little uncomfortable, always. And I'll tell you, the times where, you know, I thought about it this evening, and when I'm current with my sponsor, I feel comfortable. And if I'm a little edgy in my seat, there's something going on, I know I got something to talk to him about. And so I walked into AA that evening. I met a man that was to be my sponsor for the next 8 years, and he immediately got me into service, and he had me picking up cigarette butts after the meeting. And it would be raining and everyone would be going out on a Saturday night to do something. He'd tell me to stand there with the umbrella and pick up cigarette butts. And he didn't care if I was late to the movie, you know. And he explained to me that we don't just flick our cigarette butts because it affects the relationship with the church. And I never thought about these things, you know, when I was new. I just knew that I wanted to come here and feel a little bit better. And what he taught me was, he told me that I need to come and treat AA like it was saving my life. And he taught me how to pick people up for meetings, and he taught me about service, and he taught me about how to pick up chairs, how to shake someone's hand, look them in the eye, you know, greet people when they're coming in the door. And then more importantly, he had me start going through the steps. And I read that man a fifth step, and I remember we ordered Domino's pizza, and we sat down on his kitchen table, and I read him all these nasty, horrible things that I had done, you know. And for the first time in a very, very, very long time that I could ever remember, I felt like I was actually doing something to stay sober. I felt like I was a part of AA. I felt like I was actually taking the steps that we hear about all the time in here. And then he had me start making amends. And that's really where my life started to change. I got a chance to go back and make amends to a grandmother, not steal money from her anymore, being able to do a eulogy at her funeral, and not sit there and have all those knots in my stomach like I was hiding things from her anymore. I was clean. And I can tell you, I mean, I only have a couple minutes left, but AA has given me an amazing life. Not just the outside things. I mean, I have a roof over my head, and I have enough money to put gas in the tank to drive out here. I have a job that pays the bills. But more importantly, I have a commitment on my home group on Monday night. I have the same trash can when I moved here. The first thing I did, I was a newcomer with time. I was 8 years in a brand new place. And so what did I do? I went and grabbed a trash can, and I didn't let go of it. And I'm still at that trash can 3.5 years later. You know what I mean? And those trash cans will save your life. And service in AA, finding a newcomer, will save your life. It saved mine, you know, 10 years sober. There's a guy I've been working with that's been extremely helpful to me. He's helped me more than I can ever have helped this guy. So if you're new here, if you haven't heard anything that I said, please listen to the next speaker, because he's not bad either. And thank you for giving me my life. I love AA, and I hope to continue to give it back. So thank you.